And welcome to a Tuesday morning. My name is Steak. It's the Steakhouse. Thanks for being with us. And appreciate your time on the Odyssey app. Always the app to go with you anywhere, at all times. And the number one rated, powerful, home of United, home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons, and home of the NCAA March Madness, Sports Radio 99, the game. And I think I've been here north of 3 years, and the two of us have never broke bread together. An exciting day for sure with Mr. Abe in the house.
It was supposed to happen a couple different times, and for one reason or another, that fell apart. But I'm pumped. I've worked with everyone else on the Steakhouse, Rusty and Sandra and Drew, but I hadn't been able to work with you. So very excited.
A lot of questions for you, young man. A lot of things to break down. I'm coming off of a 4 or 5 day. I'm not going to lie to you. I was with my buddies who I grew up with that we've been taking trips for 30, 40 years together.
Yes.
In different capacities. Very unique in that my best friends in the world, many of them, I went to third grade with, first grade with, seventh grade, a bunch of college guys too. So there's this group, and you're on this bubble. Granted, we were in Orlando playing golf and pickle and watching games, and everything else, but you really don't know what the hell's going on in the real world. You're barely, your biggest priority is, we get this big house in Orlando because it's just easy size-wise, right? You go somewhere too fancy or a hotel you can't get. We just need space. So, like, your biggest priority, who's going to win Pop Shot? They have an arcade in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's the pairings of the pickleball matchups. Like,
oh,
all the things that don't matter, the wives are asking you. Like, hey, how's Jimmy doing? I heard that he was struggling with this. It's like, what? Yeah, is Dino going to be okay with it? Like, I don't know. Here's what I know. Like, the over-under on our Pop Shot game was 65,
yeah.
And I had 67, and that was the highlight of the night, and the house, you know, the house came down, right? Like, that's what happens when you go away with buddies like that. You're trying to get away from. So I would not say that I was immersed in what was happening in Georgia sports, other than knowing that the tournaments were going on and whatnot.
The only time this happens to me, as separate of like if I go on a cruise, just because I don't have the internet, but even then I'll like log in real quick. You know me, I'm a psycho.
Yes.
I can't not know what's going on. For a shorter time period, like Saturday afternoon, I went and saw two movies.
Okay,
back to back, yeah, just straight up double feature. And that's the only time for like a 5 hour block where I'm just like not updated on things.
Now, what possessed you on this particular Saturday? Because that's the ultimate checkout, right? I want to just check out, take a deep breath, and you're going to the movies on a Saturday. It's not like the Oscars are coming up, or it's not like there was a huge opening, was there? Like, what possessed you to do that?
There were some movies out that I wanted to see. There was a podcast that I listened to about a movie that I hadn't seen yet. So I had to see the movie before I could then listen to the podcast.
So I'm trying to understand your passions. Running. I see you're in a great running kick of late, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Been looking at your scores. Pickles starting to be part of your life.
I was there last night.
Yeah, JCC. We got to talk about that a little bit. Then you have your cruise once a year, right?
Hopefully more, but yeah, right now one.
And you got your dog.
Chip, yeah. Chip.
And you got this radio station. Is there anything I'm missing on the Abe Gordon life?
Yeah, I mean, and the movies. The movie
going
thing.
To the movies.
Yeah, going to the movies, watching on Netflix or Prime or Peacock.
Are you a
or...
series guy? You watching White Lotus? Are you?
I don't watch a lot of series. The series that I do watch are all like the same type of...
genre?
Yeah.
Which is what?
Like FBI, CIA, Secret Service, MI6,
you watching documentaries?
No.
Series?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to understand that. How long have you been at the radio station for?
I've been here. I think like I saw like my anniversary was just passed or was just coming up like 7 years now.
7 years. So 7 years. I've been here. I don't even know. I signed a new deal a year ago maybe. So I'm north of 3 years. I think coming up training camp will be my fourth training camp with the Falcons. I think we started in August years ago. So... you know, we're on the peripheral. We pass each other in the night. We have some similar interests, right?
I think so.
But have not spent certainly 2 hours 2 hours on the steakhouse together. So I'm looking forward to it. This is my re-entry. Me and my buddies call it our re-entry, trying to get back in after disappearing for 4 days. So we had a great time in Florida, played a lot. My buddies are playing a lot of golf. I'm trying to get back into that. More working out than you would think as we get into our mid to late 50s.
Gotta get a pump in?
Well, just you just can't go days with nothing, right? Not with the level of eating and drinking.
I was gonna say, if you're trying to offset, you're trying to offset what's coming in, you got to put something out.
Debauchery, sure. Yes. Yeah. So, but ready to rock and roll, my favorite time of year.
Mark. I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I saw a couple pictures of the trip, and I knew you guys were in a nice location. I didn't know, because you guys have been all over, Vegas and Arizona and Orlando, and I did happen to see what looked like a pool at the Airbnb or whatever.
Yeah, it was a pool picture.
Picture view right there at the pool. First off, this is a personal question, but it's not that bad. Yep. I want to set a baseline here. We're just going to start with a baseline. Do you shave your legs?
Do I shave my legs? No, I
okay,
do not.
I'm just setting a baseline. Okay. You're not shaving everything. You shave your head. Looks good.
Shave my head.
Looks good. Picture of you, no shirt.
Uh-huh.
Look pretty clean up top. No lettuce.
Yeah.
You shave your chest?
Well, there's a manscaping that and every one of us, when we go away, there's a level of manscaping for the most part. So, yes, that would be chest, top of the back, that type of thing.
Now, I'm considering.
Yes.
I'm considering making such a move. What are the pros and cons for you for shaving the chest?
Well, it's just a cleaner look. Okay. I think women like it better. I'm married, right? I would argue my wife prefers it.
There was a time, and I'm a little bit younger than you, but I'm also not young enough to still be of this mindset where chicks would dig a little bit of hair popping out the shirt. That's gone, right?
That's gone.
Okay.
It also makes you look a little better shape, if you will, right? If you're in decent shape. So some level of manscaping that goes on.
Now, I do some level now. Just, haven't gotten to the chest yet.
Right. Well, I'm just,
I'm considering it. I've been thinking about it.
What I would say is there's no downside. And especially if you get, just ask ladies. 9 out of 10 will say, the days of Burt Reynolds with the hair coming out of the top of the shirt.
Yeah, the Austin Powers bit.
Yeah, that is just not.
That's gone?
That's all right. Gone. So, but I'm happy to counsel you in some capacity.
I have the tools.
Okay.
I just haven't done it yet.
Well, sometimes you just got to take that leap.
I might.
Let's do our 9 at 9. Really interesting start time. It's day one of the tournament, so we don't have to wait long, and it's kind of a strange part of the day as well by virtue of the fact of where you're playing. But Georgia will be in action in a couple of days. The dreaded 8-9, I guess we were trying to avoid. Not really. We're trying to get in the tournament. But if you get a dub, you have to play the number one seed before you get out of the weekend. I think you and I probably look at the world, in this case, the same, whatever it is. Whether we should have, we could have been a 10 and not played a 1 if we won. Our seeding wasn't great. Why are we in that bracket? Gonzaga should be higher or lower. Whatever. You played in the SEC. The game's 40 minutes. Like they say in Hoosiers, it's the same measure of baskets, the same measure up and down the court. Just go win a basketball game. You know you beat Florida. You know you beat Texas. You know you beat Oklahoma. You know you beat Kentucky. You know you beat St. John's. Am I supposed to believe that you can't beat Gonzaga?
What are we, 3 weeks later? We were just worried about getting into the tournament. Now we're crying about who we're playing? You're not going to luck your way to the Final Four by just having the right opponents. You're going to have to beat someone, so go beat someone.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about the ones saying, we're a number one, but our bracket is harder, or our road is worse. Here's what normally happens. It's ones and twos in the Final Fours, but sometimes they're going to land in against a 10 or a 12 or a 6 you didn't see coming. But when the dust settles, you still had a path, right, that the big dogs will be eating because you can win one or two. But you can't win 4 or 5 unless you're a great basketball
player. You got to win the same 6 everyone else does, and only one team's going to do it. That's all there is to it. It's not about your path. It's not about your opponents. It's about you.
You got Duke as a favorite at John Shire back where Duke believes they live. Jason Evans, who has the number one Duke podcast in America. And also, I didn't know this. Well, he's a film critic. You have a real issue with critics. Are you going to play nice with him, or are you going to tell him what your issues are?
If he wants to settle up and deal with me,
so Jason Evans can. Will join us to talk about. Also, really what we know is the health of Cooper Flagg, the health of Malik Brown. That's coming up at 10 o'clock as well.
Yeah, it's not even about the health. It's about the plan. This is a head coach question, not even a Cooper Flagg question, in my opinion.
Which is why play him.
What are we doing?
On a 16-1.
We expect him. We hope he's ready for Tuesday, Thursday. What? No? Weekend, man. At best, weekend.
Spencer Strider, an outing yesterday that should have every Braves fan feeling, I don't know, giddy. The most dominant performance you could have in the spring. He threw 27 pitches, 23 were strikes. He got 8 outs, 6 of them were strikeouts. He capped out around 96. Spencer Strider, who we didn't even know would have a start in spring training, right?
Maybe a little overreaction for me, but I've thought this before. Like, that guy might be the best pitcher in all of baseball. It was 8 outs in spring training, and I saw what I needed to say. That guy might be the best pitcher in all of baseball.
I lived here in the heart of the Maddox-Glavin Smoltz. I'm not saying he's a better pitcher, but he is one of the most dominating, unique entities that I have ever seen. Spencer Strider is worth every time he takes the hill to see the combination of velocity, location, dominance, mindset. Huge article in the AJC about it, which I thought was great. Just what he has been going through mentally. And yesterday he said, I just wanted to be grateful to be pitching and not walk around hating everybody like I am on my starts.
Yeah, a little bit of emotion out of a usually kind of emotionless Spencer Strider. Yeah. So I like that.
That was a great sign. NFL stuff, anything that jumps out of you we need to mention from yesterday in terms of what the Falcons are trying to do or
not? I tweeted about this. I need the team and the reporters to get on the same page. Because we've had a week of this now where we find out the Falcons are re-signing some guy, and then the Falcons announce it 5 days later, and I can't remember if I've reacted to it or not yet. Mike Ford is back, which I think I already knew, right. But now I definitely know.
Anything they've done in the last 48 hours that has any impact, you think, as
No.
you look forward?
None.
Yeah, if you look at the 32 teams and who spent the least, Falcons, I think, are 30 or 31 in the NFL.
I'm shocked at how many players we were able to bring back spending so much. Or spending so little, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is quite a number of players for the...
Well, it's creative math, and it's where you can play with the cap at all times. We'll have more on that a little bit later on. Hey, Georgia basketball fans, at 4:25 on a Thursday, and I'm being serious, what's the level of must-see TV? Is it similar to an SEC football game at 3:30 on a Sunday? And also, why the folks that made Gonzaga a 5.5-point favorite against a team that's beaten just like a slew of big dogs, why that Gonzaga spread makes more sense than we think. I'm Steak. He's Abe. It's the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name's Steak. It's the Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks to Zeno. Drew Butler helped out. They sounded awesome. I was back in mode yesterday. I won't lie to you. Friday morning, it was the start of our little boys' weekend. But by yesterday at the airport, listening to Drew and Zeno, needed to get my fix. Those guys sounded great together. Love the combination. Also love for you guys to be listening. Best 2 days of the sports calendar are with us. Thursday and Friday at Twin Peaks, we watch the opening round of the college basketball championships along with you, Andy and Randy, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw from 11 to 2. Friday, it's Dukes and Bell, Twin Peaks, Buckhead. There's a very, Very strong chance I'll be rolling through there. It's about 5 minutes from my house, 10 minutes or so. Don't miss a moment. Next Thursday, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And next Friday, at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon is here. We are excited to be together. Sandy's back tomorrow, Rusty Thursday. And Mr. Butler back on, what is it? Friday? I don't know what the combo was. Well, give me the schedule, Day-Day. Let our listeners know. Do you know what it is? Sandy is here Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Sandy will be back tomorrow Wednesday, Thursday.
And Rusty does Friday.
Yep. See, it's a short, you're throwing off, short week for you.
Yeah, it's not Tuesday. Complicated. We know Rusty now does Fridays, and Sandy does middle of the week. Abe is here getting ready for, as we all are, what we hope will be a great NCAA run in general with big moments. I've been saying for years the better games, the more competitive games. Arguably, if you're a gambler, you may have more fun betting the Big East, ACC, Big 12, SEC. I know me and my buddies, we had the games on all weekend. Anything from the last 4 days, was there one or two games that you looked at or focused on? I don't know how big a college basketball fan you are.
Come on, Steak. Come on. Yeah, you do.
No, I really
know.
Where does it rank? Where does stuff rank for you?
Well, everything is at the time, right? I mean, college basketball ranks pretty low until we get clear of the Super Bowl.
What is it that you're most passionate about? What's I know all sports.
College football.
Right.
College football's the one seed. And NFL's right after that.
NFL's the two.
And then in terms of after that.
Three.
Yeah, but not all of baseball. More just Braves. I watch a lot of sports, man.
Hey, Day-Day, anything?
Talked about the four TVs, you know.
Anything, so that's your basement in your house? That's your living
room?
That's
my main room.
Four rooms.
It's
four
not
TVs.
Hidden. It's not hidden. It's right there.
So any woman that comes over is going to know what she's competing against.
I mean, there may only be one on at a time.
But she's going to know with the three others sitting there.
Day-Day. She might be third. There's Chipper, the dog, the four TVs, and then she might be third. That might be why I'm still single.
Yeah, I was gonna say that might say a lot. Anything? How much were you running with the kids, and how much hoops did you watch this weekend?
Running with the kids all weekend, but kept the I got the YouTube TV on the phone, so kept up with everything.
So what jumped out at you from watching all that?
North Carolina not being able to beat Duke without Cooper Flagg on the court. That was very
well. They came all the way back, though, right? In that second half.
Yeah, they came back.
After they were getting smoked.
But it's just the fact that you just still. I mean, that's kind of been the story of their season. That was probably the biggest thing that jumped out to me. And then obviously seeing what the committee would do. I loved what was going on with the SEC tournament. That was just fantastic.
Was
basketball.
There one game? I'm trying to think as we were watching all the. I mean, Tennessee was just impressive all weekend.
Yeah,
no
the Tennessee,
question.
Florida game.
I mean, the Gators.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Pastner was great yesterday with Dukes and Bell, like really good. And Josh has been a buddy of mine for years. But watching him all over ESPN, I mean, all over, he had a great spot. And he blows away Tom Crean. All due respect, I mean, Pastner, I think, just does a great job. But he said a month ago, Florida's best team in America. He said, if you look at the Gators, they are loaded top to bottom.
As you know, I am a Florida fan. And there's a couple things that I think separate Florida. And this doesn't mean they're going to win the six games and win it all. But there's a couple things that do separate them from some of the other teams. Foul trouble's not an issue for the Florida Gators. Now, you never want your stars to go out with foul trouble, Clayton and Richard and some of those guys. If John I. Broom at Auburn goes in foul trouble,
yep.
That team can be beaten. Florida has depth. At the bigs, they have depth at the guards, and I think that's going to play its own role over the course of the tournament. I also just think that the ability to win on both ends of the floor, offense and defense, the ability to win in transition and in the half-court set, there's just not every team can do that. And we talk about St. John's as the possible 1-2 matchup for the Florida Gators. I think that's a great matchup for Florida because St. John's can't score. And yeah, Florida can. It's just so many ways they can beat you. Not every team can beat you in the variety of ways Florida can. I think that is what maybe separates them. But again, they lost to Georgia. They've lost games at times this year. Anyone can go down at any time in this tournament.
I totally agree that the difference is St. John's can't shoot it.
Yeah.
St. John's is a physical, older team. Rick Pitino has said, I got to ask Mike Bell, I was listening to him yesterday. I love those year in the life behind the season
sure.
looks.
Yeah.
I've seen none of that Vice series with Pitino. I'd love to see it. He's done with high school kids. Pastor told me this a few years ago. Why would I recruit a high school kid when I'm wondering, Abe, I'm wondering if this kid can hack it in the SEC or whatever, when I can go get a kid averaging 18 a game in the Sun Belt that I know can play college basketball now. That's what Pitino has done. But his team, like Izzo's team, can't shoot the three. And Florida can do everything.
Yeah.
And I covered the Gators, and I'm 20 years your senior.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a ton of friends that used to be my crew here in Atlanta. I used to talk about Dan and Dieter and my buddies who were Gator guys. That run they had, a back-to-back national titles with Billy Donovan.
Yeah, 06-07.
I mean, how old were you at the time? So
I was in college.
Okay.
I was out of college, I think, for the second one.
So they win the second one here, and
yeah.
That's the Al Horford.
Al Horford, Joe Noah, Corey Brewer, Lee Humphries, and Torian Green were the starting five. Yeah.
So those were great basketball teams that did something that nobody ever thought could happen at Florida and Billy Donovan. And I covered them with Dwayne Shinsons back in the day and with all combinations. But this group here, man, to go through the SEC the way they have,
yeah.
So Gator fans, like Gator fans are way better basketball fans than Georgia fans.
The team's better.
No, they're.
I mean, the team's better. It helps. It helps.
I don't mean this year. Like, the last 30, it's not close. And, of course, it's not close because if you have grown up or in the last 25 years.
Program status. Because you got to remember.
It's like why Braves country is better than Hawks country. Because Braves country has been giving you playoff games and championship runs and postseason moments for 30, 40 years, since 91. That's how you build a new generation of fans. If you're a Florida basketball fan, you just said it. That was 20 years ago, and they weren't bad before that.
It wasn't. Well, they went in the Final Four in 2000 with Mike Miller, the Michigan State, all that. It also wasn't just stopped at the 06-07 squads. They went to the Elite Eight a couple years later. They've been at Sweet 16 since then. No, they've been good for a while.
They're a major basketball power, and they have great fans. And I could argue that Florida fans are even better or can teach Auburn and Alabama, who are somewhat new, but they're building it. So then the question is Georgia.
Yeah.
And, you know, understand, because I've been saying it for years, why is that happening at Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee? I know why it's happening at Kentucky. Kind of knew why it's happened at Florida. Why can't they be this? And with NIL, you know, with Dick Vitale lamenting that the ACC can't spend, one thing Georgia can do is spend. So they have. And now they're in a position, how do you build off of it? And
spending's not the issue, by the way. Like, I don't know if you saw, I saw this written up a couple days ago. The four number one seeds, Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida. Florida spends the least. Like, Auburn, I think, was at the top. Maybe it was Duke at the top. I forget which one. But, like, the Florida's spending, like, $8 million. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
But the spend in the ACC, that's real.
Yeah.
That's what Vitale's talking about.
Yeah, he was talking about the overall conference.
Yeah, the NC State, Wake Forest, maybe even the Georgia Techs of the world. You know, SMU, they'll get in the game. They'll start spending. Count Stanford ain't going to spend
but
like that.
Even before you were able or legally, whatever, to spend, like, Georgia wasn't getting guys. Like, this isn't new. The amount of talent, basketball talent, data, you know, the amount of basketball talent in this state
the Asa Newell moment was a signature moment. Anthony Edwards never got to the tournament.
How does that happen? You saw
the two kids at Rutgers. Both are going to be lottery picks.
How does that happen?
Both are lottery picks.
I saw number two and number three overall projected. Missed the tournament.
Yeah, for Rutgers. So
that's coaching.
So now you have an opportunity. And I ask Georgia fans, real simple. I know what's happening. I won't even say a 3:30 game. Let's not be silly. Let's not say an 8 o'clock kick against Bama. Let's not say a 3:30 start against Auburn. Let's just say a 12 noon against Mississippi State. Where does this rank at 4:30? And I would argue Georgia fans are interested, but they're not hunting down a television. They're not canceling meetings. They are not rearranging. And again, that's because your program is still trying to start to send a message. So you tell me, Georgia fans, this is Asa Newell's. He ain't coming back. He's going to be in the lottery. Silas Demery, right? These are the guys that are, those are two stars. Those are star-type players. Blue Kane, right? Those are the big three. And then their front line, there's some good talent around them as well. But honestly, as a Georgia fan, look inside your heart and say 435. Where's that game being played, by the way?
Wichita?
Wichita.
Or did you mean like TV? It's on TBS.
No, it's 435 on TBS. I know that. Yeah. Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
430 on a Thursday. Is that changing your day? Is that changing your plans? Dog fans, we ask you that. And then I have the SEC tournament question. The SEC NCAA gambling thing. You're not a big gambler, right? You don't have that unhealthy habit, right?
I look at lines quite a bit.
We talk about a lot on this show. I'm about to make a move for the steakhouse, but I need a full sign-in. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Dog fans, where does it rank? How important is it? We'll do that. More on the Bravo, Spencer Strider. And what Kirby said last weekend on our interview that absolutely came true to form. It's Abe and Steak on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Wow, four pitches, already a ground out and a strikeout, and there are two away. Welcome back, Spencer Strider. 1-2-3, near perfect in the first.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Braves fans, obviously, I'd almost consider a little gift that you didn't see coming. Spencer Strider just dealing on the Red Sox. And not their A-team, but some of the biggest prospects in baseball. If you look at who Strider was dealing with, he put on a show. Put on an absolute show.
Is that Vaughn Grissom down? That's an A-teamer, right? No.
Are you being facetious?
No, of course.
Well, no, they're saying that he had to. I mean, that's one of the worst trades. That's one of the most horrendous trades. I want you to think about the fact that Vaughn Grissom hit 150 and didn't play last year, and the Red Sox got him for Chris Sale, who not only was the most dominant pitcher in baseball, but Chris Sale's salary was paid by mostly by the Red Sox. Just think about the fail, right, of now, Vaughn Grissom, they said outside chance to start at second base, but then they have other guys.
I think he would have started last year. Didn't he get banged up?
He got injured, but he was terrible before.
He wasn't good.
He was terrible after, and whatever. So Vaughn Grissom did get sat down. Spencer Strider, obviously now been through two major surgeries, right? We know what he's capable of. I thought it was a fascinating interview. It was a long-form interview after the game to about his mental state of mind, trying to get himself in a zen meditative state, how to be positive, realizing after that second injury, there's only one way to go here, and that's with a mindset of positivity, no woe is me, figuring out how I become a better person from this, a better pitcher from this. And he talked about, 27 pitches and 23 strikes and 6 strikeouts and the whole deal.
That was good. It was just good to we've thrown two lives, so the pitch count floor was 30 already. So to get close, don't want to, we talked about if things go too well, do we go up for the third, face some more hitters just to get the pitch count close, and that's what happened. So that's a good problem to have. So definitely a good step today.
If things go too well, I say they might have. No trouble, and it was just one of those things. And again, I don't really care who he's facing. Like yesterday showed me. Not that we didn't know, but it was a reminder. This guy, with respect to what Chris Sale has done and with respect to a lot of good Tariq Skubal and a lot of good pitchers across Major League Baseball, this guy might be the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, he really might. And hopefully he gets back quick enough into the rotation that this could be a Cy Young year for Spencer Strider if he gets back. It also made me think of this because there's been this discussion here, Stake, and I want you to, talk me out of it or talk me into it. Go roll with me here. that he would be sent to Gwinnett and make a couple rehab starts and kind of build up the innings and all that. And why are we doing that? Now, why not just use him as a elongated opener? You carry one less bullpen arm. You still have your five-man starting rotation, but one guy piggybacks off of Strider. And instead of being an opener that we've seen like the Rays use or the Tigers that go one inning, he goes two or three, and then you bring in A.J. Smith-Shawver or whoever it would be. Like, why not use those innings here?
Well, if you're going to say you're on the same pitch count, right, and the notion is let him work some things out, we're going to be cautious. You can be just as cautious in the bigs as you can be in Gwinnett. And by the way, didn't we see yesterday? Because the least interesting part of the story is that it wasn't the Red Sox A team. That means absolutely nothing. When Spencer Strider is dealing, it doesn't matter if you're facing Murderer's Row with Shohei Ohtani and Mookie and Freddie. It doesn't matter. Like, his stuff is electric stuff.
Yeah.
So you saw that yesterday. So is the win, I don't know, man. Like, you'll be a little less. Here's my argument. Maybe you're a little bit calmer. He talked about how amped up he gets on game day. Maybe you're a little bit calmer. Maybe you're a little bit more able to work stuff out or be, if you're pitching at Gwinnett, as opposed to being, I don't know, you know, whatever the April schedule
is. Is him working stuff out worse than whoever is going to be the fifth spot?
The level of being amped, the level of a major league stadium with 50,000 people is different.
50,000? That's one out of every 20 games. I get 50,000 at Major League Baseball.
If Spencer Strider's on the hill, he's selling out Truist Park.
But even that's not 50.
Okay, whatever the number. Don't get into semantics.
I'm just saying.
Right? Don't get into semantics, right?
It'd be 12,000 in Detroit on a Tuesday.
That's not where it's going to be. It's going to be absolutely sold out if he's at home.
At home, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so maybe we want to just say, let's do your first or second start with a little fanfare and just see how you feel. Stretch it out maybe a little bit more. So that's the argument. It's six or half a dozen. The fact is that you want Spencer Strider to have a summer where he is looking like the dominant pitcher in baseball, which he absolutely has the stuff to be able to do.
It's a risk-reward discussion, right? I mean, how much risk is it for if you were to start him in the majors versus the – Yeah, I admit it
is. Second guessing is going to be in your head. It just almost a vibe or an energy. Imagine if and it has no real effect and more likely to get injured. But I just
and that's fine too. I just wanted to talk it out because after seeing it yesterday, I'm like, I don't need this guy in Gwinnett, man. I need just any amount of innings that he can throw is two innings or three innings less that we're relying on A.J. Smith-Shawver to get you to the sixth.
I get
or seventh.
Listen, it's a new era of baseball, too. You know, guys don't stretch it out. I mean, the amount of inning work and these, you know, elongated start stuff. It's going to be a fascinating season to see how this rotation comes together. And if you have Spencer Strider at peak game with Chris Sale, who also, by the way, looks exactly like he did last season.
Yeah, he's been on fire.
So, dude, I mean, it's going to take something special to challenge the Dodgers, who decided we're playing in a different league than everybody else, right?
They got a dub this morning, too.
Yeah.
That game counted. The Tokyo series. Them and the
Cubs.
So
that counted.
It counted, yeah.
What was the final?
Did it end up 5-1? It was 3-1, then they tacked on.
Who started for the Dodgers? We'll go through that. I didn't mean to ask you. But anyway.
Imanaga for the Cubs threw 4 no-hit innings, and then they pulled him, and then the bullpen gave up 5 runs immediately.
4-1 Dodgers, and the game counts.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to take something special. The Braves are, I'd argue, the only team that has that kind of opportunity to be absolutely unique. So however it was, that was a huge day. Did we play the second cut from Strider yet? Or let's hear more from him.
To see command come with me, I felt like my command has been good. To see the stuff, like metrics on the pitches and stuff, movement. And like I said, haven't looked at it yet, but just the swings and everything kind of tell me what I need to know. To see that come, that's nice. So, you know, velocity is kind of the last piece to me. That's definitely something I'd like to have a slow build with. But still, seemed like the ball was getting on guys. And I know it's spring training, but definitely a good one.
You kind of.
I mean, velocity seemed there. I'm sure he. The question is holding that velocity, carrying it through the deeper innings.
He doesn't believe In the less velocity, more control, because he's unique. For Greg Maddux, remember, Greg Maddux was a guy that threw in his mid-90s and did have control, and they decided to dial it down a few, and he was the most in command of any pitcher maybe in baseball history. Strider's point is there's no connection between the two. I can throw just as hard with just as much location.
Well, the other thing is, can you not miles per hour, but percentage of effort, right? If you're at 90% effort, you're probably going to have a little bit more control than if you're throwing 100% effort. But there may be no difference in velo at 90% effort and 100% effort. I think that's where he is. I think it comes off of his hands so easily. He is throwing with 85 or 90% effort. He isn't thrusting 100% effort there. And that is why he can control it.
Understanding his body and understand effort versus injury, which probably has very little, you know, connection other than making Braves fans so friggin' nervous, right? That we don't ever have to deal with a Spencer Strider injury again. But it was, it's not on championship March Madness week. We wouldn't normally focus that much on spring training because we all know it goes on way too long at this point. But that was enough to make us think about it. All right, let's do a little bit more with the tailgate. Now, you got to fill me in all the details, essentially, what Kirby is saying, other than the news breaking that they're not going to be on ESPN or ESPNU, regardless with their spring game, which they normally are. They're not going to have, they're not going to have the whole buildup and hype and national television audience that comes with the marquee programs, because Kirby's not exactly sure where he wants to go with the spring game. How do we know that? Well, it wasn't from yesterday. It was from last week on the Steakhouse. This stuff about spring game is interesting. You said there's no guarantee we play it every year. Sounds like you're playing it this year. I also like what you said. Don't be fooled. Some coaches, separate of the portal and all that stuff and the money, they never like playing spring games to begin with, and you're hearing about that.
Yeah, I mean, you could say there's more injuries than a normal practice, so there's your risk. You got all kinds of depth problems. I mean, I haven't even had a padded practice yet, so for me to decide that, it was a given before, so everybody assumed it, but it could have happened to us last year. We were down on some defensive linemen, and there comes a point where if you can't go out and play a game, then don't do it. You know, do something else that's better for your team. So I think that's a decision you have to make every year in the middle of spring.
Now, the decision is, we don't want to say what time we're going to kick off or for sure how it's going to play out.
No, the decision's just not to televise it. Look, it's not new that they've had weird formats. It's not like a game necessarily. They have formats where they put first team offense, first team defense, and they have a weird scoring system. If the defense is deemed to have gotten a tackle for loss, they get a point.
What's the point of this year? It's different because this year, he's not worried about his kids being poached. That's going to happen at Georgia regardless.
Right. It happens anyways.
So then what's the theory that you believe is behind it to say we don't want our game televised and we don't want to be held? I feel like he wants the flexibility to do with this game whatever he wants to do with the game.
Sure. Would that change if it were on TV? You're Kirby Smart.
Well, it feels like, yes.
You could just do whatever you want anyways.
Well, you can if ESPN scheduled 4 o'clock to be live at pregame at 3 and have Kirby on and have guys mic'd up and have a certain format and you made a commitment to ESPN to do it a certain way. I mean, that's my notion was we don't want to be, we don't want anybody trying to dictate anything going on in our program. There's a few programs, Florida, A&M, and Georgia, all bypassing, I'm not exactly sure if that's exactly the three, that are bypassing the notion of being ESPN.
Yeah, and Florida's got some weird stuff going on with DJ Lagway where he may or may not be throwing. They may be trying to hide some stuff right now anyways. I don't get it. I really don't, Stake. I think it's a crazy much ado about nothing. If you're worried about kids getting hurt and you don't want to play the game, have some sort of modified practice that fans can attend and fans can watch and do what you want to do. Don't play a game. Like, fans are going to be there for Georgia, for Bama, for the big boys, no matter what. And if you don't want to be on field at all, just have a fan fest. Fans would come out for a fan fest where they get to meet the players and line up for autographs. And I know Georgia and in these programs kind of, they might do fan fests and caravans and different things anyways. then don't have a game. Fine.
What jumped out of you from the Kirby interview we had last week? I think we had him on Thursday.
He sounds real excited about that receiver room. And I think that's something that should make Georgia fans pretty happy. I mean, obviously there were the issues this past season with drops and Carson Beck and offensive line. And I think a lot of it boils down to can guys win one-on-ones. And I don't know if that happened enough last year. And the times they did, the receivers dropped the pass. He sounds hyped up about what they're bringing to stretch the field, and that's going to play itself out in a number of ways. It's also going to help out the run game.
Yeah, it's also made the headlines thanks to Connor Riley for giving us props in that article where he basically – the whole piece was about the wide receivers and how Kirby sounded as he was talking about them. Speaking about coaches that do things a different way, Deion Sanders, again, back to the spring theme, saying, someone come down here, let's have some fun, do a scrimmage.
Spring game will be televised. ESPN2 will broadcast spring game on the 19th. We got to sell this thing out and pack this thing because the way the trend is going, you never know if this is going to be the last spring game. I don't believe in that. I don't really want to condone that. I would like to play the spring. Actually, I'd like to play against another team in the spring. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Can we, just for a second, and with respect, Fran Brown of Syracuse answered the call. And I guess on Twitter, which I don't know if that makes it an officially binding agreement there, but he says we'll come to Boulder for 3 days, and that's fine. That's great. Can we stop pretending like Deion Sanders came up with some great idea here? Like, we've been talking about scheduling spring games against other schools for years. Like, this isn't some new idea.
Yeah, but he's actually going to execute on it, possibly.
Fine. I guess.
By the way, the biggest no-brainer for Fran Brown. Here's what doesn't happen on a April afternoon in Syracuse, New York. A bunch of people go and watch Syracuse spring practice in the Carrier Dome.
We've talked about Fran and his ability to recruit, and this is just another tool.
Absolutely.
And he's taking full advantage.
I'm going to get an ESPN.
Yeah, full advantage.
Now, his AD, they all have to be on board because that'll cost hundreds of thousands of dollars if it happens to bring a team to Colorado and pay for it for days. But again, the argument is going to be Syracuse football in a million years would never get this coverage. So I love that he went right out there and said, I raise our hand. We're good to go.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
I think it's also, now this part is smart, that they're talking about not just coming out there for a spring scrimmage, but a couple of days of joint practice leading into the spring scrimmage.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the NFL mode that we've seen. Falcons went down to Miami and then played a game there, stuff like that.
Hey, if you grew up in these parts, you know what Duke basketball is about. You love them or hate them. But they've got one of the most unique players in the history of their program. They're number one in their bracket, and there's all kinds of intrigue around them. A guy who's a buddy of ours, been on the show for years, Jason Evans. He hosts the number one Duke podcast. What's the status in some of those injured guys? And then, I didn't see this coming, Abe, the man reviews movies for a living. And Abe, like a lot of people in his life, has a certain antagonism towards this particular career. We're going to sort that out as well. Don't want to miss it. Hour to go. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Fastest 2 hours in radio. It's the Steakhouse. Thanks so much. March Madness week right here. Why can we say that? Because we're the official station for March Madness with Westwood One on the broadcast. Don't forget to be listening. We'll have especially nighttime. Great action for you as you drive around. Nothing better listening to tournament games. Some of the great voices you'll hear on CBS and Westwood One and the whole deal. And also want to remind you about Atlanta United. Full swing, Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Join him. Mike Conti, great segment yesterday on the Steakhouse talking about the Inter-Miami game over the weekend. Jason's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tab of the international soccer as well. Atlanta Soccer Tonight brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Tuesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. Been a hell of a run for Duke basketball. John Shire finally has a team that most people think is the favorite to win the national title. Some injuries and other conversations to have, including what happened over the ACC tournament. He's got the number one podcast in America for Duke Hoops, and he's been on the show numerous times. Jason Evans joining us, host of Duke Basketball Roundup. Jason, good morning. Hope you're having a fun time watching your Blue Devils back on top of the college basketball world.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I live for, Stake. So, yeah, it's been a good time. I was in Charlotte, and I was on the floor as the confetti was flying. Right. It was a great time.
So let's take it separate of a great time. You're playing Georgia Tech. You're down by 14. You look listless. And then within about a 10-minute stretch in real time, you lose Malik Brown and then the Cooper flag moment. Take us through what Duke fans were thinking at that point.
Horrified. Yeah. We sort of knew that the obviously winning the ACC tournament is fabulous and wonderful, but in those moments, and yeah, you're right, it was like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes of game time to lose Malik Brown and lose Cooper Flagg. Suddenly, for Duke fans, the ACC tournament did not matter at all anymore. And I'll tell you that, you know, obviously everyone's focused on Cooper Flagg because he's the best player in the country. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He is a generational player, and he transforms your team. But don't discount the impact of Malik Brown, who is a difference maker on defense in a very, very big way. And while Duke's going to get Cooper Flagg back, you know, John Shire says they'll have him back for the first game of the NCAA tournament. And I think, you know, having him all by itself makes Duke the favorite. Not having Malik Brown, which is still, you know, very uncertain, is a big deal for this Duke team. He allowed them to switch everything 1 through 5, and he just transforms the game with his defense.
All that being said, right?
Look, I got to ask the question. John Shire saying that Cooper Flagg's going to be available for this game on Friday is great. Being available and actually using him are two separate things. You're playing a 16 seed who's coming out of the first four. He's not actually taking the court Friday, right?
I believe he is. I'll tell you that my sources inside the team said that on Friday last week, you know, for the ACC semifinal against North Carolina, Cooper Flagg walked into John Shire and said, "I want to play today."
Yeah.
And Shire was like, "Not happening."
That's
Cooper
adorable.
Was like, "No, you don't understand. He's like, I can do it. I can do it." I saw Cooper Flagg numerous times over the weekend, and there's a tiny little bit of a limp there, but not bad. And it's the kind of thing that, look, if you've ever turned your ankle, you know, bad for 24, maybe 48 hours, and then you pretty much start to feel fine again. My bet is they will play him on Friday. Probably, you know, not more than, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at the most, just because you want him to get back into, you know, feeling what it's like to be on the court.
Right. I heard the cardio thing and just game shape, which I thought was overplayed, but maybe not, that if you have a kid that's not, I mean, of course they're going to run him at practice, but just getting him the reps and getting him up and down the court matter a little bit. Obviously, I'm not going to get too much into the draw, but there's no reason that Duke doesn't get through the weekend, and then we can talk about what kind of a situation Arizona may put you in or Alabama. What makes Duke so special? Everybody who covers basketball knows about the history of Duke basketball. A slew of national titles, All-Americans, superstars, NBA players. What is unique, different, or similar about this team?
I think that this team plays defense in a way that we haven't seen a Duke team play defense in a long, long time. Yeah. I talked a little bit about Malik Brown, but even without Malik Brown, this is a team that their ability to switch, their size, like, say, the shortest guy in the rotation for Duke is 6'5". And that's Caleb Foster, who actually doesn't play all that much at this point. Virtually everyone else in the lineup is 6'6", 6'8", 6'9", and up, going all the way up to Kamen Malawach, who's 7'2". This team has, to say it has NBA size, like, there are NBA teams that don't have this kind of size. And it allows them to be so difficult on defense that they're just, it's super hard to score on them. Yeah, and they're blowing teams out as a result. That's the thing. That if you look at their scores,
circus.
They're routinely winning games by 30-plus points. Yeah.
In the ACC. Like,
yes.
Not your early season, we ran into, we brought a cupcake to Cameron to lose by 40. These are ACC scores north of 30.
Yes, exactly. And look, I'm the first one to admit that the ACC has not been very good this year. No question of that. Although I think that Clemson and Louisville people a little bit in the NCAA tournament. But no, the ACC has not been very good. But look, Duke stepped out of the ACC just a few weeks ago, played an Illinois team that is a 6 seed, and beat them by 43 points on a neutral floor. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Jason Evans of the Duke Basketball Roundup joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on the stage. Kind of is my question here, Jason. Is the fact that they just haven't been in that many competitive games going to come back to bite them? Because maybe you're in some blowouts this opening weekend, but it gets increasingly rare to be up 22 points once you hit the Sweet 16. Is this a team that is comfortable in a possession game, something that's not a blowout city?
I mean, I think that's the big question about that. You know, if you're skeptical of Duke winning the title, that is back on, because you look back on the game against Kentucky here in Atlanta. I was at that game. Duke had a lead. It sort of evaporated. And then down the stretch, Cooper Flagg committed turnover after turnover. And then just a couple weeks later, in Las Vegas, and Duke had a lead, and they lost it late, and Cooper Flagg committed turnover after turnover. Now, I think the answer from a Duke fan would be, that was November. It feels like a lifetime ago, and we've seen Cooper Flagg's game expand so dramatically since then. But that has to be the concern. And look, even you can say, they won a close game with Carolina over the weekend without Cooper Flagg, where it was functionally a back-and-forth game in the final 2 minutes. But North Carolina's not that good, and Duke blew a point lead in the second half to allow Carolina to get back in that. The only thing that worries me about this Duke team is, are they able to get there in a really close game? I'll say, though, that I'm not sure they're going to be that many close games for them. It really may not be until the Final Four. That's how good they appear to be.
Yeah, the Houston.
You guys are aware, this is the best team in 25 years in the Matrix. Like, there has not been a better team in college basketball, according to Ken Pomeroy and the other efficiency experts, in 25 years.
And that's what, offensive and defensive efficiency?
It's a combination of both of them, yes. Yeah. And by the way, it's not even close. Like, the 2015 Kentucky team, which was considered truly great. There are a few other teams over the past 25 years who've been considered really, really great. This Duke team is actually like 2 or 3 points per 100 possessions better than those teams.
The Cooper Flagg skill set to the NBA, what's it going to look like?
Well, we get it last summer when he played against LeBron James and Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis and on and on and on, the select team in the Olympic run-up. And we saw we saw footage from scrimmages. We heard from all those guys. They were like, yeah, he's every bit as good as everyone out here right now.
Somebody's going to be real happy to win that lottery this year. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And if the NBA didn't have a lottery, it'd be the biggest tank fest. Now, again, you've seen it before with other Duke players, but it does feel different. I'll also just say this about Kelvin Sampson in Houston, because that would be the Final Four matchup. Those are a couple of dogs, going at each other if it's Houston-Duke in the Final Four. I mean.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, whether it's Houston or Tennessee, I think those are the two teams easily most likely to come out of that bracket and face Duke in the Final Four. They're both teams that play very, very physical. And I think the book on how you beat Duke is you have to be physical against them.
Yeah, and
now, I'm not saying it's a Duke team that can be easily pushed around. There's an Atlanta kid, Sion James, who plays point guard for Duke, who looks like an NFL linebacker. But if you're going to beat Duke, I think it has to be in a physical kind of game.
All right, 60 seconds, you're a movie guy. Abe, what's your movie critics? This poor guy over here, like, that's what he does for a living, right?
And that's only understandable. I just think there's a huge between movie critics and the movie-going public who are not going with a mindset on the score or cinematography and that stuff. Like, I don't know how great the ratings are going to be and the reviews for A Working Man, the new Jason Statham film, when it comes out, but like, it's going to deliver. Like, I'm going to see Take Care of Business against thugs.
So, Jason, so, you know, you understand the public and guys who are critics, but I think you're one of those guys that appreciates both, no?
Yeah, exactly. I will tell you that, I mean, I've been reviewing films for 3 or 4 decades now, and I will tell you that I do it with an attitude of, you know, is there an audience for this movie, and is that audience going to get what they expect from it? Yeah, a Jason Statham film. If you want to see a Jason Statham film,
I do.
Then my responsibility as a critic is to tell you, is this a good Jason Statham film? Because no one who's looking for an Academy Award is going to a Statham film, but someone who's looking for action, that's what they want. So you should be able to deliver that.
Did you like the Best Picture choice?
I did. I loved Anora. I think it's a fabulous, wonderful film. And even though you can say, oh, it's for critics and the such, I think it's an incredibly entertaining, incredibly funny movie with some very realistic characters and a unbelievable performance at its core by Mikey Madison. She's a revelation in that movie. It was my pick as the best movie of the year. If I can, really, really quick, I know we only have 60 seconds. There's a movie that just hit theaters this weekend called Black Bag.
Awesome.
From Steven Soderbergh, who did Ocean's 11. The film is a combination of Ocean's 11 and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the spy thriller movie. It is so good. It has the best script I've heard in a long time. It's just
all
a
right,
ton of
Black
fun.
Black Bag. Black Bag.
See, one of the ones I saw on Saturday.
All right, we got to rock and roll. Jason, thanks. We'll talk to you down the line. That's Jason Evans. We'll come back. We'll belly up to the bar. More on Georgia. I didn't hear anybody talk about Georgia basketball. We'll figure that out as well. Sports Radio 99. Here, right? Have you ever gotten into a heated conversation that passed the point of civility?
Not on air.
Off air.
Past the point of civility. I think that's a bit extreme.
Who was the most volatile 92.9 personality matching up?
I don't want to use that word. It's passion. Steak. Like, you have your beliefs. I have mine. And it's definitely Zinno, obviously. Like, we all know that. But I have no issues with Zinno the man.
So would go to break and would continue in the break?
No, because I don't think I've hosted with Zinno. So it wouldn't even be stemming from
just
a show.
It'd be
a discussion we had in the back here, and then...
That's my big pet peeve. Folks that are doing arguments in the back room before you do a show, right? Or just like Zinno sometimes would sit down, and I love Mark, and I've known him a long time, and he'd wear himself out, dude, because... He was giving you 20 minutes. Day-Day would say, like, dude, we would sit down with Zinno and, like, we're in a pre-show. And he'd get himself so worked up, right, Day-Day?
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, there's the show.
Well, the one thing you never want to happen is to be better sitting at the table while we're waiting to start the show than you are when the show starts, right?
How was Zinno's mood the last couple of days?
Oh, he was good. I mean, and he did a much better job of keeping everything and saving it to...
How does he seem?
He was furious that Drew Dalman is not still with the Falcons.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And it was just like, I'm not getting into it. That was him and Mike Johnson got into it a couple times. I'm like, all right, man.
That was in the hallway here the last couple
of
days.
That, yeah, and yeah. A little bit of Twitter beef. It was a little back and forth on Twitter.
Oh, a little Twitter. Okay. He seemed like he spent the day at the ballpark. He's with his kids. I saw his golf swing, right? I mean, you know, I always say, Mark, are you okay here? What's your angst level? But they sounded good yesterday. I was listening to him. So you already were out in debt. So I'm working with Abe here. So Pickle, you were over the J last night, the JCC.
Yeah.
So those of you who aren't familiar, the JCC in Dunwoody, he built like 16 pickleball courts, right? So, like, every Jew in the state of Georgia has now gravitated to play pickleball over there.
Yeah.
You included. You're
well, I live real close anyways, so
you're near Brookwood Run, I heard.
Brook Run? Yeah. I'm out that way.
Okay. So yeah, I've played over there, but it's not close to me. So, is it just a bunch of wild Jews playing pickleball on a Monday night there? Or
well, Mondays is the, like, in terms of open play, because they have leagues and you can reserve courts, but then they also have open play courts. Yeah. And you just kind of show
so
up.
So you're starting to play.
Yeah, but I'm good at it. Like, Tuesday, tonight is the, like, advanced open play.
At what time?
6:30.
So you can't play at that level?
Oh, I can play at that level.
Okay.
I've been playing for about 3 months now.
All right. But all the
time. I can play at that level.
All right.
I'm getting more into it, and we were talking about this off air. I'm dialing back the running a little bit in terms of distance now that I've got past the half marathon. And,
you did the Publix half marathon.
Yeah, I did the Publix half. And so now I can dial back distance a little bit, which means more pickleball.
So here's what I can tell you with me and my buddies. There were 9 of us, and these are guys I grew up with. And the amount of conversation about seeding, right? So I got a buddy who's a football coach, my buddy Jimmy, who just has a elevated sense of his athleticism, right? And we're constantly hammering him.
As do I, probably.
Right. So he's calling himself the number one seed, and let's you know, break down pickle because we played pickle every morning or something. We're just trying to get workouts.
Yeah.
And this stuff got so heated. I mean, at one point, and I play a lot of pick. I'm not great at it, but I'm better than him, which I tried to say. I'm not even that good, dude, but I'm better than you. But I was on a bad foot injury, so I was hobbling around. And at one point, I just go, let's go, singles, one-on-one. Like, enough. Like, I'm just going to play you one-on-one. And all my buddies heckled. Like, you would have thought that we were playing center court at the Australian Open. The amount of heckling that was going on, especially toward him, because, like, winning that meant everything to him. But that's what happens when you have 9 buddies get together that, you know, play sports and, you know, think they can still play sports and everything else. Like, I did a thing. I'm the house. We were all at the house on Thursday night, and I go, all right, we had a pop shot. They had a full arcade in this house, so there's a pop shot. So I started matching people up. I said, $10, you have to bet, though. I'm the house, right? So, like, the amount of intensity, guys all having drinks in their hand, pop shot one-on-one, 1.7 out of my 8 buddies bet against one guy, and the guy won. So they're like, Steak, what's up? I said, dude, the house wins 7 out of 8. I don't tell you who to bet on, but like, so funny, dude. Like,
I have some, because you know, I take things from the, I don't know if analytical, but pop shot, there are a variety of ways to approach it.
Well, first of all, it's an algorithm how many shots you can get off.
So that's the question. Are you a quantity guy or a quality guy?
No, it's I'm both.
Because I'm just
throw both hands?
Get the ball near the rim, depending on how far away it is.
It's all about getting into a flow with an arc, right? So, but no question, amount of shots get off is absolutely
okay.
Great. So I'm just saying, it's just, it doesn't matter how old you are, enough guys are listening. Like, dude, it doesn't matter if you're in your 25. I know all these guys who play these Ryder Cups, especially as you get close to Ryder Cup and the Masters. They have their own version of the Ryder Cup stuff when everybody's in their uniform and it's like 4-on-4 and you play in the morning and you play in the afternoon, different formats. But just classic. And it didn't matter what we did all weekend, the amount of intensity of which and talking. So we were thinking about this for a show, okay? So think about numbers. I said, we're going to put up $100 per game for this for the show, $100 per game. We're going to bet every SEC team. So we'll have 14 bets first weekend. Let's maybe we get 11 back. We'll have 11 the second game. So now we have 25 bets total.
Not even first weekend, just first 2 days.
Probably 25 to 26 bets. So I say in the course of the tournament, that's probably 40 to 50 bets, north of 30, just to say if the SEC is the best conference of all time. Now, Vegas is going to make it that you're right down the middle. There's no advantage. But what do you think about just as a show, the Steakhouse just says, we're taking every SEC team, and we're not going to think about it. We're not going to wonder A&M versus Ole Miss.
So you're not even looking at opponent. You're just whoever the SEC team is, you're taking them with the, and then
not going to overthink. Yeah.
And then
the whole way.
When they face off SEC versus SEC, what's the plan?
Well, there's only going to be like 2 or 3 instances of that. In that case, I don't know.
Do you think about it, or you just go higher seed?
Doesn't matter.
Or?
I've already had 35 bets before that. Like, our success is not based on the SEC playing each other.
Right.
My point is to try to decide if the Alabama number's too high or the A&M number's too high. Just take the SEC. We're not going to like the spreads because they're all going to be monster lines. Oh, the Georgia line, they're underdogs. And just see how, if you had to guess out of 40 of those plays, do you think there's any advantage there? Do you like the idea of the Steakhouse just saying it as a show?
It's just too much money for me. $100 a game?
The entire show. So maybe it's $20 a game, right?
That's still $20 a game for 40 games. You know how much money that is, State?
Well, if you look, if you go,
that's $800 for me.
If you go 5-15,
yeah,
right. That's not going to happen. You're going to lose 20 bets. Most likely, it's 12-8, 8-12, right?
There are stories in Vegas of guys who can't afford their hotel room because they were assured that's
they
not going to happen.
40 SEC games. And so, I don't know. Data, do we have a thought on this?
It's $800, Data. You go 0-40.
It is a lot of money, Steak. I will
$100
say that.
As a show, 40 games, right? That's $4,000. What do you mean? That's
800 per person. If it's 20
five
a game.
People on a show.
If it's 20 a game, $800.
Yeah. We'd have to look. We probably have to look at the $20
a game. Yeah. Maybe we can adjust it. Somebody like Drew Butler.
$2 a game is where I'm at.
Drew Butler, who comes from all, you know, Drew Butler's a fancy private school kid, comes from money. You know, maybe he puts a little extra money behind it, right?
Yeah. Because I'm in the $2 to $3
That's
per game
fine.
Window.
I'm just saying that Drew.
20.
Maybe Drew puts in a little extra. I want to be conservative. You know me. I'm going to be super low key about all that. But
I wish you guys luck.
A little bit of rooting. We have to track it, though, don't we, Day Day? We got to track
it. Yeah, we got to track it. And yeah.
Let's get.
When you see the bank start to dwindle, they'll track
how
it.
How bad
you.
Are you going to do in 40 games? You're going to lose 25? 15-25, I guess that could happen. We got to get Brandon Lang on Thursday. Ask him, like, what the thought is. I don't want to overanalyze the SEC. Just want to take him across the board. Just take the SEC and see how it goes. Something to think about. We'll come back. The dumbest political cheap play that I've seen. We'll do that. Also, why the NIT embarrass themselves again. We'll also do three strikes. Lots more on the way. Fastest 2 hours in sports. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Ted 42 of Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, chilling out on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. Sandy's back tomorrow on Thursday. Rusty Rocks on Friday. We'll get you ready for the tournament. Great coverage here for sure in Georgia at 4:30 against Gonzaga. A weird time, a weird matchup, an 8-9 with Houston looming for the winner. If you don't know how good Houston is, you're not watching college basketball. They are awesome, and it's the best offensive team Kelvin Sampson's had in a long time. They'll swallow you up on defense. They are a problem. They'll be a problem if they get there against Duke. They'll be a problem for Auburn, and they'll be a problem for Georgia if we play them in the second round. But we're a 5.5-point underdog, so it is what it is for the dogs, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I told Abe earlier, I'll be honest, this is the first year we really haven't seen, from a national standpoint, Gonzaga on our TV screens throughout the season.
Good point.
So I don't really know much about him, but he brought up a good point about their, you know, about them statistically.
They don't lose early. They don't lose.
No, look, they get out of the first weekend. They've gone to 9 straight Sweet 16s. Year the tournament was canceled here in Atlanta, and they haven't lost in the first round for like 11 or 12 tournaments. They just don't lose their first game. But I will say this, and I don't care what the Vegas line is, Stake. I don't think you do either. I actually like this matchup quite a bit for Georgia, if we're going to be honest. Gonzaga tries to beat you with their bigs. Graham Ike is their big guy down low, 6'9", 250. All right. I mean, Georgia's got a lottery pick sitting there ready to go toe-to-toe in Ace Newell.
I'll just say this. If you beat Florida and you beat Kentucky and you beat Texas on the road and you beat St. John's, you beat Oklahoma and you beat Vanderbilt, I mean, come on. Like, it's beating Gonzaga is not exactly like, you know, beating the Fab Five of Michigan. It's a tough team. The reason the number looks skewed for Gonzaga is because of what you just said. Mark Few is an exemplary one of the all-time great coaches.
Yeah.
He doesn't get upset.
Yeah.
When you don't, I'm not talking about the 116. Sometimes they're a 314. The fact that Mark Few has won that second game that many years in a row tells you that he's just an extremely well-coached team. But
They also don't do it with youth, and this year's no exception. Obviously, Ike, I just mentioned, is a senior. Ryan Nebhart is a senior. He's been to the tournament a bunch. It's going to be a big man guard game, right? It's Asa Newell, Silas Demery against Nebhart and Ike. And I just, if Georgia guy steps up, they can win this game.
Georgia has to shoot well.
Sure. Yeah,
that's kind of been their Achilles.
I totally agree. Silas Demery needs to make shots. Blue Kane. In my gut, you know, they can win it, but I think Gonzaga to win the game, their experience and history in the tournament. But the number seems high for a team that has won that many SEC games.
Well, let me ask you this. If you didn't lose that game to Oklahoma, right, in the SEC tournament, how much better about this one would you feel? Let's say you had beaten Oklahoma and then lost to A&M or whatever.
I wouldn't feel better. You just have a different seed.
I think this game that Oklahoma lost is messing with people.
Desperate though, they were desperate. No, I think
you feel pretty good about the way Georgia had been playing.
Yeah, four in a row,
with the exception of that loss.
I just like all the teams they beat.
Yeah,
like I mean, that's all you need. I mean, just look who they beat. Florida's the best team in the country. St. John's a 2 seed. You beat them both, right? You went on the road and beat Texas.
Yep.
You saw it there. So all right. A couple of things, housekeeping. Big game of the night brought to you by John Foy. We'll give you his Tech playing tonight in the NIT. Is that tonight?
Yeah, Tech and Hawks in action tonight.
Okay. Who's Tech got in this NIT battle?
They are playing Jacksonville State.
Mm-hmm. Let's do belly up and explain the NIT a little bit better right here. But that's our big game of the night. Let's start with South Alabama and the NIT. About as embarrassing, you know, corporations, CEOs, people in charge are supposed to be smart about PR and the infrastructure of their business. The NIT didn't handle their business well, Abe, at all.
No, it's a pretty sad story, if we're going to be honest. South Alabama accepted an invitation to the NIT, which they ran. Obviously, they got the invitation, but they also confirmed that invitation with the Sun Belt
on Sunday night.
That they could announce this to the team. Essentially, what happened is UC Riverside was initially invited to the NIT. UC Riverside initially said no because they had already accepted a bid to the CBI, the College Basketball Invitational, which is not an NCAA-affiliated postseason tournament. They were able to get out of the CBI and then change their no to a yes. That meant that the NIT and the Sun Belt then had to go back to South Alabama, who in the meantime had the head coach inform the players that their postseason was continuing as part of the NIT, that this is no longer going to happen.
Uh-huh.
It's a mess.
And then they wrote that lame PR note explaining what went wrong. The NIT, if we mistakenly invited, we want to apologize. The whole thing. And a very bad look. You're in, but you're not. Did I start to go to prom with you? Yes. I didn't know somebody else was going to say yes, who had already said no to me.
Right.
Now she's available. So pound sand.
But it's more than that. It's if that date had then also told their parents about how excited they were. The problem isn't necessarily that South Alabama accepted it and then later had to find out that they weren't going. That is a coach and an AD discussion. The problem is the coach specifically got permission to tell his student athletes and now has to go back to them.
Is it that exciting to the kids that they were going to the NIT? I guess it's South Alabama.
For South Alabama, probably.
All right.
By the way, they won the Sun Belt this year. I mean, they weren't.
All right, a couple of quick things. Here's a governor with way too much time in his hands. West Virginia went 10-10 in their league or something. They lost to Colorado, who's terrible in their tournament, and now they think it's the great injustice in history. Oh. If I live in the state of West Virginia, that is the cheapest pop I've ever seen. I mean, you don't have better things for your attorney general. You went 10-10. Carolina got in. I know their AD's on the selection committee, but he wasn't in the room. They're the Tar Heels. You're West Virginia. You went 10-10 in your league. Stop it. What a waste of time. the TV camera that was there filming it. That was a waste of their
time.
Yeah,
I just have a tough time really caring about this at all. Is UNC going to win this whole thing? Is West Virginia,
know, like the,
would
the,
Indiana or the Boise State, or end, like, what are we doing?
Most of them will be done by Friday, and yet this guy is going to take time. A politician like that matters. Real quick, and then we'll get to our three strikes. Who's the young lady who had this comment?
Cameron Brink. Cambridge.
She's one of the better players on the LA Sparks.
Yeah. Superstar.
Yeah, got injured last year, her rookie year, so she's obviously looking to get back and, you know, redeem, have a redeemed season, but didn't take lightly too much to the flyer put out that they are going to be looking for male practice players for the LA Sparks.
It's basically just like a
okay, so you prefer you're a gay practice player, being straight about that, you know? Would that have been politically incorrect if they had said, my girls want to scrimmage gay men's players? An interesting take, all right?
I'd say so, and I can understand what she, maybe they don't find that
dude,
quite as
guys
attractive.
Are idiots. Guys are idiots.
Yeah, that's
I'll,
the truth.
I want to play them. I'll take her in the post.
Yeah, and that's our point. All the
I'll back her
were,
down.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's our three. That's our belly up. Here's our three strikes question. Will Kirk Cousins throw 10 touchdown passes or more next year? Will Kirk Cousins
can we count
in the
preseason?
NFL? Nope.
No preseason.
Throw 10 touchdowns or more next year. You weren't surprised. Falcons, we've been knowing what's
happening. No,
what's their what's the value on Kirk Cousins right now?
Right now, it's not that high. It becomes high as other quarterbacks, one, get signed, but two, even further beyond that, if someone gets hurt.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
But guys go down. Will he throw more than, if you had to bet on $100, will Kirk Cousins throw more than 10 touchdowns in the NFL next year? A politician, alive or dead, you'd like to have a steak dinner with tomorrow night. A politician, the opposite of this guy, Morrissey from West Virginia, right? Wasting our time. A politician, alive or dead, you'd like to have a steak dinner with. And the best pitcher you've ever seen live. Spencer Strider, yesterday in Florida, ridiculous. Absolutely dealing. Six strikeouts out of eight outs, 23 out of 27 strikes, dusted the Sox, throwing about mid-90s, and he's just get going. The best pitcher you've ever seen live, the politician you'd like to have dinner with alive or dead on Thursday night, and will Kirk Cousins throw more than 10 total? All he has to do is be named a starter sometime by some NFL team.
Not only for a couple weeks. Like 10 is like 4 weeks.
Yeah, if we're going to win
the bet.
That
could be 4 good weeks. You know what I mean?
Right, 4 good weeks. Because God knows he went 4 or 5 weeks with one.
Do touchdowns to the opposing team count? Because he threw a couple of the Chargers I'd like back.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Call up Day-Day. Let's get 2 minutes of calls. Let's have some fun. It's three strikes. Who's the best pitcher you've ever seen live?
Yeah, I want to caveat this because I think the answer is probably Mariano Rivera from that perspective. If we're limiting it just to starting pitching with respect.
No, we're not.
Yeah, with respect to Maddux and Glavine, I was always a Smoltz guy.
But you saw him live.
Yeah.
I'd say Pedro Martinez in his prime.
I never saw him.
And I saw him in the All-Star game. His combination of pitches and just how dominant and overwhelming.
Well, he also went on a run, right, for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, because he had a long career, but there were 2.5 years that stood out.
That was next level.
Yeah.
I'd say Smoltz. I'd say Maddux on the right day where you're out of there an hour and 38 minutes and you go, I can't even believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson, watching him live.
Now, I've seen a lot of good, like I saw Randy Johnson, but I saw Randy Johnson when he was with the Nationals. That's not what we're talking about here.
No, that's not the same. All right, let's take a couple calls. All right, BK, will Kirk Cousins throw more than 10 touchdown passes next year? BK, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Kirk Cousins? No, not on the bench for the Falcons. He won't throw 10 touchdowns.
I don't think he's going to be there. A politician you want to have a steak dinner with, alive or dead, tomorrow night?
Absolutely got to be Barack Obama.
And the best pitcher you've ever seen live?
I was going to say Randy Johnson, too, because he was a flamethrower, but I also saw Roger Clemens when he was with the Yankees.
Brad in Peachtree City, $100 bet, will Kirk Cousins throw 10 touchdown passes next year?
No.
Politician you like to have dinner with, alive or dead, tomorrow night?
Got to be the man, Donald Trump.
Best pitcher you've seen live?
Greg Maddux.
Thank you, sir. Nathan and Griffin, you got $100. Will Kirk Cousins throw 10 touchdowns next year somewhere?
Yes.
Politician alive or dead you got to have dinner with?
Hitler.
Best pitcher you've seen live?
Nulir Tehran.
Okay. Not exactly sure where you're going with, I assume maybe you want to take a steak knife and put it through his heart sometime through dinner, but okay. Anyway, short of that, it's been a fun 2 hours, my friend.
It's been fun. I hope we get to do it again the first time, hopefully not last time.
I'm always here. Well, not always here.
I'm saying I'm always here. I don't know about you. I've been here when you're not here.
That's true. Hey, thanks, Day-Day. Coming up next, Andy and Randy. Sandy back tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.